Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Phil from San Diego.
Good evening. My name is Phil Cadillo. I'm an alcoholic. Sobriety date is 1-1 of 96. My home group is the Mesa Men's. My sponsor is Dave T. My first sponsor was Larry Dixon, a member of this group. His sobriety date was 1-1-2-2-8-8, as many of you know. I came into this thing. I checked my buddy. I was definitely not on a winning streak. Things were not going well for me. We had just purchased a home, and I had a young son, and I was a struggling mechanic. Had a trouble keeping jobs, and I was drinking everything in sight, and I was also very fond of outside issues, accelerants in particular. I was really down on my luck, and things were just not going well. I remember being hopeless. And I thought there was no way out. I just had no hope. And I was just talking to my wife about it the other day, and she had talked me into going to the doctor. And I went to the doctor, and back then I was about 155 pounds. Went to the doctor, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, "Doc, I can't stop drinking and using, no matter what. I can't stop. I need help." And this particular doctor said, "Well, we can put you on a list and see if we can get you some help. In 3 or 4 months, they might be able to get you in." And I looked at him, and I said, in my head, I said, "Thanks for nothing, because in 3 or 4 hours I'm going to feel okay, and it's not going to be that bad, and I'm going to go out and do it again." And I remember that empty feeling, and I looked at my wife, and I hope I never forget this, but it was just like somebody said, "You know what? You're done. You're done. The end is near." And I knew the end was near because my best work usually got me ended up in the garage. And I tell this story at my home group and my Thursday night Claremont men's group. I usually ended up in the garage with a cooler full of beer and a bottle of something and separating the nuts and bolts, the metrics from the standards. I duct taped the seams in the garage because they were looking in and they were fast. I couldn't catch them. There's probably a couple of people that I can identify with that in here tonight. I had a loaded gun in that garage. I had two loaded guns. I had a shotgun and I had a pistol. And I regularly loaded those weapons and stuck them in my mouth. I guess it was a blackout one night, and I had a shotgun and a vise, and I stuck a screwdriver in the bench, and I had a string around the screwdriver to the trigger, and I had that barrel in my mouth, and I just couldn't do it, and I had a wife and a small son in the house, no more than 30 feet away, and I couldn't do it. And my sponsor told me when I got to this program that it's a good thing I didn't, because I would have killed the wrong guy. So what happened was my best friend was over one day, and he said, "Hey, if I set it up to go to rehab, will you do it?" And I said, "Yes." And when I said yes, I tried to grab that yes back out of the air before it got to his ears, but I couldn't get it. So 2 days later, we ended up in the parking lot at API, and we drank a six-pack and had a carne asada burrito, and I went into that place, and it was went in there, and I think I had a pack of cigarettes and a pair of sweats, and that was about it, And it was nice to come in out of the storm, And they gave me some little blue pills, and they said, "There's your bed, there's your shower stuff, and take a shower and go to sleep." I hadn't had a good night's sleep in quite some time. I used to stay up for 3, 4, 5 days at a time, so it was nice to get some sleep. So I went in there and I slept, I woke up and I went out and had a cigarette. And they brought me food, and I ate, and they gave me a couple more little blue pills, and I went back to sleep, and I did that for about 3 days. I had open sores all over my face, and I was bleeding from just about every orifice in my body. And when I got about 3 or 4 days, they said, "Okay, it's time for you to go to the meetings." And I said, "Meetings?" And they said, "Yes, downstairs." And I said, "Well, what kind of meetings are these?" And they said, "Alcoholics Anonymous." And that was the first time I'd ever heard those two words together. And so I went down to those meetings, and there were some mighty fine people in those meetings, man. And I grabbed onto one of them. They said, you know, you need to get a sponsor. So me and Larry had differences about the way this story goes, but I asked Larry if he could help me find a sponsor. And Larry thought that was that I wanted him to be my sponsor. And little did I know, Larry had about 6 months at the time, but he had a good game. You know, he had some good game. How you doing, Bill? And so what happened was is that Larry went to one of the elders at La Mesa Men's, a man named Hugh McCoy, and he said, Hugh, this guy asked me to be a sponsor. What do I do? Hugh McCoy told him it was time for you to quit freeloading on the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, Larry. You need to sponsor that man. And so I grabbed onto Larry, man, and I went to every meeting that he went to. We went to a meeting every night a week, you know. And some were down in Imperial Avenue, and some were up in Euclid Avenue, and a meeting called Grassroots up there. I remember going to that one, and I followed Larry around, and I did what he did, and I went and answered phones when he did, and I swept up, and I picked up cigarette butts when he did. And I did everything that he did. And in between that, we opened up that book, and we started working the steps. And when I worked those steps, step one was no problem for me to take. Step two, I was okay with that. Step three, all right. Step four, Phil, you need to start doing some writing here. And when I wrote up that fourth step, man, and I got together with him, and we did my fifth step, and I shared that stuff with him. And he started sharing some stuff with me. And so then I started sharing him the stuff that I didn't write down. And it was like just this great wind off the top of a mountain blew through me and took all that nasty, deep, dark crap away from me, you know. And I was finally able to breathe a good, deep breath. And that was the turning point in my sobriety, you know. And I stayed sober for, I worked the rest of the steps with Larry. And my life got busy. And I told you I was a mechanic, so I got my, I had been fired from this job before, and I got that job back. And I started making more money than I ever did before in my life. And I started buying stuff, you know. I started buying motorhomes and dune buggies and motorcycles and started living life. And I got my son into racing. He was a very accomplished motocross racer. By the time he was five, he was sponsored and had four or five bikes. And we don't do things little around here. And he was pretty good, actually. And I started racing along with him, you know. And so I got busy. We started doing the Little League stuff, you know. What happened was is that I went from 7 meetings a week down to 5 meetings a week, down to 3 meetings a week, down to 2 meetings every 2 weeks. And then I decided, you know what, I don't need to go to those meetings anymore. And I had a little secret. And the secret was I knew I was done on the drugs, but I wasn't sure if I was an alcoholic. And I figured me and Coors Light would get along again someday. And that day came about 4.5 years. After I had been sober for about 4.5 years, I'd been sober for about 3.5 years. I'd been dry for about 4.5. And I went back out there and I started drinking non-alcoholic beer. You can drink a case of that stuff a night and it leaves a very bad taste in your mouth. And so when I'd go to the store to get that non-alcoholic beer, the real stuff is right there. So I'd get a couple of those. I worked 2 miles away from home. And it would take me an hour to get home, and I couldn't shove any more cans underneath me because I'd get tall boys, drink tall boys, and then bring home a 6-pack of non-alcoholic beer to look good. So I did that for about 6 months. New Year's Day, 1996, I knew the game was up, but I didn't want to come back and face you guys and tell you that one more time Phil Cadillo was a loser. I turned the corner. I was coming back from somewhere, and I turned the corner, and there's Larry Dixon's car. He said, Phil, it's time for you to come back. And I knew he was right. And when I came back, I got real busy, you know. And what happened for me was that deep down inside, I proved to myself beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm an alcoholic. I'm bodily and mentally different from my fellows. I have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind that when I take a drink, it takes me, and there ain't no telling what's going to happen. Okay. During that 4.5 years, my daughter was beat up by the babysitter, and she laid in a coma for 5 days up there in Children's Hospital, you know. And at that time, I did not find it necessary to take a drink, but I did find it necessary to carry my gun and park across the street from that woman that did that to my child. This child was born right after I got out of rehab, not too long after I got out of rehab. And my friends found out about what I was doing, and they took my firearms away from me and started hanging out with me and keep me safe. The reason I tell you that is because when I was active in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was reading the book, and I was answering phones, and I was trying to carry the message to the best of my ability. I was plugged in, and I was spiritually fit, and I didn't have to drink. Okay? There was absolutely nothing going on in my life when I stopped going to meetings, and I stopped reading the book, and I stopped working the steps, and I took a drink. You know, and I was thinking about that the other night, and saying, you know, Larry used to tell me it's not the big things that get you, it's the ants that'll get you, you know, and the ants got me. So when I came back, I got real busy and I started working this thing. And you know, when Larry passed away, it really rocked my world, because several people had passed away in that were really good friends of mine in succession. One of them was Bill O'Brien. I had lunch with Bill O'Brien for the last 2 years of his life every Tuesday down in Chula Vista, and I love that old man. And then he passed away. And then Larry passed away. Recently, a friend of mine, who a guy I sponsors, he passed away, took his own life. He could not or would not see our way of life. You know, so I was real angry at death there for a while. And but you know what? That's what comes with the territory. You know, I've had relationships with people in this deal that you can't put a price on. You know, and that's just part of life. Thanksgiving Day, my mother-in-law passed away, 2:30 in the afternoon, right when the turkey was ready. And with my daughter and my son and my wife and all her family around her by her side. And it was the most spiritual thing. It was one of the most spiritual things I've ever seen in my life, to watch my daughter brush her hair as she took her last breath. And this was the daughter that got beat up, and we were afraid of long-term brain damage. I am a truly blessed man. This program has given me a life worth living. It has given me a family that I am blessed beyond a doubt. I've got a 25-year-old son who's in the Border Patrol out in Tucson, Arizona. He is doing well. That daughter that lay in a coma for 5 days when she was a year and a half old, she's in her fourth year of nursing school up in Northern California, you know, and she was able to come home and take care of her grandmother for a week before she passed away. And it was a beautiful thing. And I got to tell you, if you're new out there, man, this thing, you hang on for the ride. Hang on for the ride, because it's been a beautiful ride for me, and it continues every day. You know, I've got 15 years, 12 months, and 10 days. And by the grace of God, I'm going to make it to the end of the year, you know, and one day at a time to get that 16-year token. I appreciate you asking me to share, Larry, here tonight. And I want to thank you all, and have a good night.